Chapter 7. A Proposal. One evening, the Collinses were to have dinner with Lady Catherine. Elizabeth, having a headache, chose to stay home. Sometime after her hosts left, Elizabeth was surprised by a visitor. It was Mr. Darcy. He asked how she was feeling, saying that he was visiting in the hopes of hearing that she was feeling better. He sat down for a few moments. Then he got up and started pacing around the room. Elizabeth was surprised, but did not say a word. After a silence of several minutes, he came toward her in a nervous manner. Mr. Darcy then said, "I have struggled, but it is no use. My feelings will not be repressed. You must allow me to tell you how much I admire and love you." Elizabeth was astonished. She stared at him in silence. He continued on, explaining. Although he had not wanted to love her because of her social inferiority, it had been impossible to change his feelings. He then asked for her hand in marriage. With a frown, Elizabeth responded, "When someone proposes marriage, I believe it is polite to show gratitude. If I could feel gratitude, I would thank you. But I cannot. I have never desired your good opinion." "You have clearly arrived at your opinion of me against your own will. I am sorry to cause pain to you, and I hope it will not last long. I'm sure your feelings of superiority will help you to get over the pain of it." Mr. Darcy was surprised at her response. He turned pale with anger and struggled to keep his composure. "Might I ask why?" "Might I ask why?" she replied. "You asked me to marry you. Clearly, you wish to offend and insult me. You admit that it is against your will that you like me. It is against your reason. It is even against your character. And besides, why would you think I would marry the man who is responsible for destroying my sister's happiness?" As she said these words, Mr. Darcy changed color, but not for long. He listened as she continued, "I have every reason to think badly of you. No motive can excuse what you did. You cannot deny that you were the one who kept them apart." Elizabeth paused and saw that he was listening with an air which proved he did not feel badly about it. "Can you deny that you have done it?" she repeated. "No, I do not deny that I did everything in my power to separate my friend from your sister. Toward him I have been kinder than I have been toward myself." "But it is not merely this," she continued, "on which my dislike is founded. Long before it had taken place, my opinion of you was decided. Your character was unfolded to me many months ago by Mr. Wickham. On this subject, what can you have to say?" "You take an eager interest in that gentleman's concerns," said Mr. Darcy. He was getting angrier. "Anyone who knows his misfortunes can't help feeling an interest in him." "His misfortunes?" repeated Mr. Darcy with contempt. "Yes, his misfortunes have been great indeed." "It was you," cried Elizabeth with energy. "You have reduced him to his present condition." "And this," cried Mr. Darcy, walking quickly across the room, "is your opinion of me. I thank you for explaining it so fully. My faults, according to this assessment, are heavy indeed. But I can't help but wonder, if I hadn't offended you, would you have felt differently? If I had not been honest about my reservations, if I hadn't hurt your pride, would you then have felt differently? But I hate disguise of any sort. I am not ashamed of the feelings I related. They were natural and reasonable. Could you expect me to celebrate the inferiority of your social status?" Elizabeth felt herself growing angrier every moment, yet she tried her best to speak with composure when she said, "You are mistaken, Mr. Darcy. If you had proposed in a more gentlemanlike manner, I would have refused you in a more ladylike manner. You could not have made the offer of your hand in any possible way that would have tempted me to accept it." Mr. Darcy left, and Elizabeth sat down and cried. She could not believe what had just happened. To think that Mr. Darcy had been in love with her for so many months, so much in love as to wish to marry her. The following day, Elizabeth was out for her usual walk when Mr. Darcy approached her. With barely a word, he handed her a letter and then left. Opening it, Elizabeth saw that he wrote it in order to explain his actions that she had referred to the previous day. He first addressed his interference in the relationship between his friend and Jane. He admitted that he knew Mr. Bingley was in love with Jane. He thought it would not be a good match for him. But more importantly, he had not realized that Jane had true affection for his friend. He had felt that her composure indicated a lack of feeling. He apologized for this mistake. Then he went on to explain his treatment of Mr. Wickham. His father had left money in his will for Mr. Wickham to pursue a career in the church. However, Mr. Wickham told Mr. Darcy that he would prefer to study law, although that required 3 times the money left to him. Mr. Darcy gave him the money, but Mr. Wickham did not use it toward his studies. After spending all of the money, with no career to speak of, he contacted Mr. Darcy again. He then asked for more money to pursue a career with the church. Mr. Darcy naturally declined. The letter gave Elizabeth much to think about. At first, she read it with a strong prejudice against everything he might say. She did not believe that he was unaware of Jane's feelings for Mr. Bingley. She thought Mr. Darcy had written out of pride and showed no real regret. When she read his account of Mr. Wickham, she also could not believe it. But when she read the letter once again more closely, she realized that it could be true. It occurred to her that it was in bad taste for Mr. Wickham to share such a personal story with her on their first meeting. She remembered that he said he had no fear of seeing Mr. Darcy. Yet, he then avoided the Netherfield ball. She remembered how Mr. Wickham had told her how he wanted to protect the Darcy family reputation, yet somehow later this story had become public knowledge. Since she had not talked about it, she could only believe Mr. Wickham had spread it. How differently everything now appeared in relation to Mr. Darcy! Elizabeth grew absolutely ashamed of herself. She could not think of Mr. Darcy or Mr. Wickham without feeling that she had been blind, partial, and prejudiced. On the subject of Jane and Mr. Bingley, Elizabeth had to admit that Jane could seem indifferent to other people. Elizabeth knew Jane's feelings, but that was because she knew her sister well. The rest of the world was unaware that she returned Mr. Bingley's feelings. How could Mr. Darcy have been expected to know better? Finally, when she thought about Mr. Darcy's opinion of her family, she knew it had some merit. Her social background was much lower than his, and her mother's behavior was often embarrassing. She could not help but feel somewhat complimented that Mr. Darcy was prepared to overlook it all.